This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
ZD doesn't know what we're doing. I'm springing
it
on her.
Answering questions.
This is hot questions, hot sewing questions. So we have a couple of questions from group members, so I thought that we would do a little Q&A episode. I love these. I love answering them. I love getting, like, the, you know, specific experiences of,
like,
other
real
people.
Life.
Yeah, because, you know, we have
real
our
life
own,
sewing,
like, stuff, and then other people
real life sewing
have different things, you know. So, okay. Well, Alice had a question. Alice says, "Hi, friends. Talk to me about your fave self-sewn exercise shorts, please. I hate bike shorts. I have chubby thighs and the legs roll up, so I spend all the time I'm wearing them pulling them back down. I'm looking for both pattern and fabric suggestions for something looser fitting than bike shorts. Elastic waisted, preferably with a drawstring, definitely pockets, or a singular pocket anyway. And a 4 to 5 inch inseam. See previous comment about chubby thighs. Traditional running shorts might as well be bikini bottoms for me." So, you know, I chimed in on I feel like what we learned from this thread, what we're going to learn, is that there's just many ways to have chubby thighs.
Well, and but, I think, you know, and I also think
maybe just thighs,
right? And I also, you know, the riding up,
yeah.
Loose shorts right up on me.
Okay, that was exactly my thought. Okay, so, well, I said...
So, but I'm not saying that her, you know, bike shorts don't ride up on her, but I'm saying if my, you know, if I'm going to chew up anything, it's loose shorts.
Yeah, yeah, so I said as much.
Yeah.
Which is why I said, like, okay, well, there's more than one. Well, you know, everybody's body will wear the clothing differently. So I said to keep my thighs from rubbing, because I guess I'm assuming that's, like, kind of the main goal here, right?
Right.
That I like a tight short that's long enough and snug enough at the hem so it won't ride up.
Right. And here's
and
the
I
thing.
Said, oh, hold on. I said, yeah. In my experience, looser fitting stuff gets eaten up by my thighs.
Yes.
You know. Yeah.
So the other thing is, you know, she's saying bike shorts. Now, has she experienced the M2M? Making your own pattern.
You know, I'm not sure, but that gets mentioned here. But
because what I'm saying is,
yeah,
purchased bike shorts.
Yeah,
have very straight legs.
Uh huh.
Okay, and yes, if you know they're too tight, I would think they would roll and bunch.
Yeah, if
you know, because they really aren't fitting your shape. I guess is what I'm trying to say. Now, I don't have much trouble with purchased shorts, bike shorts.
Yeah,
I have more trouble with purchased leggings.
Yeah, I well, the bike shorts,
as far as fitting, I mean,
well, here's the other thing. I think of bike shorts in one way, I think Alice might think of them
in another way,
in a different way,
uh-huh,
which is valid. I think of a bike short as like an elastic fabric, like a
I think of it
spandex.
As a cutoff legging,
is,
basically.
Yeah, it
yes.
is a skin tight.
Yes, purposefully,
you know, right?
So you aren't rubbing or having anything loose or you know, flying around in the mechanisms of your bike, basically.
Yeah, right.
And aerodynamically, you
well,
know.
And in like tradition, if it's actually bike shorts for biking, you got padding, which means
you
have to
pad.
Have a garment that is like fitting close, super close
right,
to your body,
right? Right.
So a lot of people. I mean, if so, this might not be advice that works for Alice, you know, since Alice is looking for like something looser fitting. But for those of you out there who are looking for a skin tight short, maybe you're using it as an undergarment. Maybe not.
Right.
Maybe you're wearing it, you know, on its own. But I have found that the key for that, if I really want there to be fabric on my inner thighs, is I have to make them go lower than the widest part of my thigh.
Yes.
And that can be so different for different people.
Well, and see, to me, like, bike short length is just right above the knee.
Right, yeah.
Right.
So it's like,
which is where your leg...
It tends to narrow, right. Yeah, so as long as it's below that. So some people, you know, like, the volume of the thigh is more concentrated at the top, right, or maybe it's more in the middle, or it's, you know, lower. It's just, like, get it below that widest point and, like, make it a little tighter. So use
yes.
that.
Yes, and you can even put elastic there.
So you can put elastic
or a band.
There. People put the grippy elastic there, too.
Or the band, like an underwear band, uh-huh, you know, a band of fabric that can work.
So if you're going to use the made-to-measure leggings class for this, though, mm-hmm, I would say, so we actually do take that.
We take the measurement above the knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So though, what I would do is we kind of like blend that together,
yeah,
you know, because we're making a full length legging in the class. I would cut that off, and you may find that you, though, narrow up the hem of a pair of shorts,
right,
more than how narrow your pattern is. And you'll, right, find that if you've ever purchased a legging pattern with different lengths.
Yes.
It, as they go shorter, they'll kind of, okay, we're going to narrow this up a little bit because it's not going down to the bottom,
right,
of your leg.
It's not,
you
going
know,
all the way down.
So you might find you narrow it. So there are, just so you know, there are elastics out there. You can buy the grippy elastic.
The grippy. And
you can.
And again, most of us have an issue like this with any problem that's ever brought up,
yeah,
or issue that's brought up. Not everybody's having this. The same problem for the same reason.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So Mallory knows I don't like boy shorts.
Right.
And I don't like boy short underwear. I don't know why, but that
like
place
them,
like my, where my groin and my hip are, I don't like that fabric in there.
Yeah.
And I feel like it rides up on me at right there. But then any other length past that, if I get, you know, 3 or 4 inches below, basically, like my greater trochanter, like my hip joint, uh-huh, right? I don't have that problem.
Yeah.
But if it's any shorter, for some reason, it likes to roll up and just, you know, lay in my groin there, like for some
reason.
You
know, I used to wear boy shorts all the time. Underwear.
Right.
A boy short panty. And I have not, though, worn them in a long time. And I think it's because my body's changed,
well,
you know, as I've gotten
and,
older.
And this is another thing. Something you wore when you were 10, you might,
yeah,
not wear when
something,
you're,
oh man,
30.
This is super random. I had this pair of boy shorts that had Felix the Cat on them. I didn't particularly like Felix the Cat, but they ended up being the most comfortable,
yeah,
underwear I had ever worn.
I actually
loved them so much.
Yeah, I had a pair of shorts like that I used to wear in dance. And,
yeah.
And they were like, had Mickey Mouse on them. And it's the only thing I've ever worn with Mickey on it, but it was very small, you know. And but those didn't get into my groin because they had tights on.
Okay, so well, yeah, that's true too.
Right.
So anyway, I used to love boy shorts. When I like kind of started, I ran a 10K once in my life, like 8 years ago. and I wore like the wrong pair of shorts for the run, and my,
yeah,
thighs chafed together, and they got like they were like
burnt.
Rug burn. Yeah.
You could have made fire if you'd have,
yeah,
run a 20K.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. And it, you know, didn't hurt while it was running, but afterwards I was like, oh,
yes,
oh. After the 10K,
yeah,
it was no good. So anyway, you know, so what I'm suggesting to
that's
Alice,
another
though,
rule. Uh-huh. If you ever run a race or something like that,
yeah,
never wear something you haven't worn before.
Right.
Because that's what happens. Don't wear new shoes. Don't wear new socks. Don't wear new underwear. Wear something you've worn before. It has been tested.
Yeah, so like if I wanted to wear a looser pair of shorts, I would actually wear the tight shorts underneath them.
Yes.
You know? Do you know who that lady is on TikTok? Her handle is I'm Mrs. Space Cadet, and she does the running outfit of the day.
Oh, no.
You know,
but
you know
I've
what
heard
I'm talking
about her.
About?
I've heard
she's
about her.
She's freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
And she's just all about like... She decided to start running for,
right,
you know, her own personal reasons, and she's not trying to be like a supermodel about,
right,
it. She's just getting out there and doing things, and she calls it like embracing the awkwardness,
right,
or
right,
whatever.
Right.
She's like, I don't look like runner's world or whatever, you know. Except then she did like land some deals.
She does. With like she's got some endorsements.
So yeah, she's like, look at all these beautiful women on this magazine cover, and then look at me. Like she's like, I look so awkward. Anyway, it's pretty funny. But she did a little series on like, she's like, will my thighs eat these shorts? Will my thighs eat these shorts? Right. And like every pair of like looser fitting shorts, I was riveted. Well, like, are they going to eat them?
It makes sense to me that the loose shorts get eaten.
Yeah.
Because they're hanging free. Uh-huh. And there they go.
But a lot. So makes sense to me too. But
now, if they're really loose in the crotch, I guess, and your legs don't tend to ever rub together, maybe they wouldn't.
Yeah. If you've got the crotch point like below where like your thighs are rubbing,
right,
I think that would work. However, that doesn't solve my problem of not having your thighs rubbed together.
Right.
But if you do just want like a pair of shorts that aren't going to ride up, that's nice. But I remember like back in the day, long time ago, when we first joined Instagram. Okay, so this is maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Jenny from Cashmerette, before she even started the patterns, she was like, how do we make shorts that don't ride up into our thighs? And I was like, right. I just don't expect them not right. to, you know, ride up. Like, I just feel like that's what my body does to them. She probably doesn't even remember that.
Well,
we era,
I think that you know. If you're not running,
yeah,
okay, or doing something sports-like, you probably can have a pair of shorts that are looser that don't ride up. You know, running is different than walking.
Yeah, so
you know, and again, it depends on the shape of somebody's thigh. You know, where does it get big? Where is it softer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, softer areas versus a harder, firmer area. I mean, there's just so many variables.
Yeah. So anyway, a lot of people are suggesting like a jogger pattern or an elasticated waist.
Well, I was thinking is I would take the M2M pattern and there's a hack for joggers out there someplace that we published. I would probably make a jogger.
Right.
And cut it off. So I'm just making them a little bit bigger.
So the cool thing.
The fabric is going to make a difference too.
Well, and she said fabric recommendations, you know, we recommend stretchy fabrics. Something slicker is not going to ride up as much. So something else I want to bring up here when we're talking about, so let's pretend what Alice does not want leggings. You know, she wants like a pair of shorts, you know.
Right.
A lot of the area where you can alter on a pair of pants or a pair of shorts that isn't necessarily easy to do, but it's something you should like work to get comfortable doing is the length. Okay. So like, it's like you slash that pattern horizontally.
Right.
Like across where like the crotch curve is, right? Okay, and you give yourself more length. This accommodates things like bellies and bums that are bigger than that pattern was like drafted for, you know.
Well, it also accommodates sitting.
Yeah,
bending.
Well,
and all of
because,
that. Yes.
Because you know, so like a lot of the length stuff and length is so it's not easy to, like, add length or take away length. It's hard to pin as opposed to a vertical seam, right?
Right.
Where you're just like, oh, I'll pinch this in or whatever. Right. So it is a pain, but it can make a lot of difference. And a little extra length normally doesn't hurt.
Right.
And I feel like I've just had a lot of success when teaching people, like, you know, okay, just measure yourself when you sit down, you know, put that ruler like from where you're sitting to where your, you know, waist is. And we see, oh, look, this is like an inch less. Let's just add an inch. And it actually, you know, it's actually, I don't think I've ever had a time when that's like ruined a garment. You know what I mean? It's always been like, okay, well, this is fine. You know, so it's a harder alteration to make because it's the alteration that you have to make to the pattern before you cut the garment out, right?
Right.
Now, with M2M leggings, you take those measurements ahead of time.
Yes.
Which is why when I make a pair of the bike shorts that I like out of M2M leggings, like the inseam and the crotch seam, like it looks like half of the, They're the same. They're the same height, right?
Right. Yes. Yes.
Because I like to make mine so high.
Right.
You know,
right.
So much
I
higher.
Like the high waist, right.
Right. Yeah. So that is, that's an alteration.
Well,
it's harder to make.
Well, I think since you brought that up, that's another thing that you can't negate is it sitting on your waist in the right place?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because if you're futzing with them, as I would say, you know, pulling them up or pulling them down, or they're not in the right place, you may be considering that something that rides up or get, you know.
Yes. So, so like thigh eating of shorts could actually be caused by not too short of an inseam that's crotch down, but too short of a crotch curve too, which is crotch up, right?
The other thing is, anytime you have a straight leg, on a short, I think it gets on me, that will ride up more than if I have something that is a little bit more flared.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, and oh man, there was a time in the 80s where those like little flared shorts were in like that. And I remember like, I have pictures like, for like 4 years where I had the same two pairs of shorts.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
that I wore over. And like one pair was like a khaki pair, you know, so it went with everything. And but sometimes the straighter the leg, especially if you don't have a straight leg, okay, and most people don't. Now, actually, I kind of have kind of a straight leg. But the straighter the leg is, you know, on the short, the more it, likely is it will
it
ride up
caught.
And stay up.
Yeah, like
right,
get
exactly.
Yeah.
Getting caught is a good way to put it. Yes.
Yeah. So it's been a nice little
You know, when Mallory got married, it was this weekend. It was it was Memorial Day weekend.
Tomorrow.
And 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she, I want my wedding outside. Anyway, she had an outdoor wedding and reception. And we tinted... actually is where my husband works. It's a big mansion, and we tinted the yard. So anyway, I said, well, Mallory, we need to write, you know, everybody, make sure everybody knows this is outside because they may need a jacket or a sweater. Mm-hmm. It was like 98 degrees. Okay.
Yeah.
So I had this. Yeah.
No. It was like 105.
Was
like
it? It was
yeah,
really
it was
hot. It was really hot. Setting
hot.
Up for the thing, you know, it's like, oh, Mallory and I went and had our makeup sprayed on and all this. And I'm like, well, it's going to melt right off. Actually, it didn't. It was fantastic. But anyway, I had this wonderful silk dress that I found. And it was actually a sample dress. And it was just wonderful. And I sent away, you know, and got this like bodysuit thing, okay, that went like up under, you know, to my bra line and like almost down to my knees and was supposed to suck me in and make me, you know, hard as a rock and all this and everything. Well, you can't wear that when it's 100 degrees.
Nope.
So I wound up wearing my bike shorts under my nice silk dress. So to me, those bike shorts are really quite comfortable and almost like underwear to me.
Yep.
So, you know, what rides up on one person or what style rides up on one, and sometimes it's just the style. Sometimes it's the style and the fit. Sometimes it's just the fit. So it could be a combination of either one of those. So she was asking, though, about fabrics, and she doesn't want stretchy.
No, she said fabric suggestions.
Oh.
So, no, not necessarily.
Oh, I think she could go with, like, a nice knit that wasn't, like, a spandex-type knit. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
like, more of a...
A tricot knit sometimes.
Yeah, I guess tricot.
Well, that would be more...
Yeah, but, you know, just sort of a cotton knit that, you know, doesn't have to be four-way stretch even.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a good stretch going across your body... You know, the length might not matter that much in this case. Or something kind of, like you said, with the tricot, it would be maybe sort of silky and slides so the fabric doesn't get hung up on itself.
Right. It might not be appropriate for anything. Everything.
Right. But, you know, probably the worst thing would be cotton or linen.
Yep.
And that's what everybody wants.
And denim. Denim, it just...
And denim like can feel like asphalt on your up, body, too, when it's hot.
Folds up like one of those fans you make out of paper in between your thighs. That happens to me. I don't know about you. But I just want to say, like, yeah, there. So obviously, you know, my first instinct is like, you know, I've got a way I think about bike shorts. Right. I got a way I think about, you know, those. Right. And, you know, she's really asking for a looser fitting thing. So everybody, you know, you may find more than one way to, you know, find a solution to the problem. So anywho, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with the second question for our episode. Hey, ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
And we're back. Oh, ZD's got a little notebook here. And, you know, this didn't happen before this podcast episode, but most of the time before our podcast episode, she says, where's my pen? Where's a pen? Where's a pen? I have to find a pen for her. And then she's okay. You got two pens over there, I see, today. You feeling good?
Oh, yeah.
You're feeling great about
covered.
She wrote down Hilda. Just a reminder, Hilda is an excellent series of graphic novels that has been adapted to an animated Netflix show, and it's darling. And if you have little kids or not, it's a great show to watch. I love it. Okay, so second question is from Rose. Tips on gummy needles when sewing on glitter fabric. A friend asked me to make a bow tie and cummerbund for her son. Well, there's no, just kidding. Well, don't do it. No.
Should have never done it.
Here's your tip for not getting your needles gummy. That's say right. No, I'm just kidding. From his date's dress fabric, I made the bow tie first and had so much trouble with the needle gumming up and consequent thread breaking, there was no time left to do the cummerbund. The fabric was a knit, it wasn't terribly glittery, so I was surprised. I'm guessing that there's a thin layer of glue to keep the glitter on. She's so right.
Yep.
At any rate, is there anything to be done other than constantly cleaning the needle? We've got a few.
I don't know.
Tips.
I constantly clean the needle.
So, yeah. First of all, you can have fabric that is just the devil.
I mean.
You can. It's not your fault. Like.
Now, I will say that if you can use a serger, it doesn't tend to get as gummy, I think, because the needle goes up and down so fast.
So fast.
Right.
Well, on a bow tie.
Yeah. But you, right. She's talking about that specifically. But like I can do dot sequin on a serger better than I can do it on a sewing machine.
Right. So she's talking about cleaning the needle. I think, I just closed the picture.
So exactly what I would just do from the head start is we keep alcohol swabs.
Alcohol pads. They're the little towelette things, right?
They're a little square thing. You get them in your pharmacy. I believe it says right on them. Let me read one that I see what it says.
Okay, you know.
It says sterile alcohol prep pad. Okay, so it's a little 2x2 size package. I think I got these off of Amazon. Okay, anybody who gives themselves injections knows what I'm talking about. It's the thing that
I just gave Zeta her B12 injection.
She did. When you go and get an injection or you get your blood drawn, they open the little package and they pull out this little square that is alcohol infused and they wipe you down with it.
And
right?
If you got the last So Here box, then you got the little wine glass.
Yes.
And so get it? It's a wine glass and I put alcohol pads in it. Don't drink those.
Unless you want to go blind.
which
that's what they call wood alcohol.
It's a hard time.
So,
right now. And I see, I just want to point out, Mom, that Rose is using a cotton ball.
Okay.
And alcohol.
Okay.
So,
and let me talk about that.
You know,
throw away the cotton ball. Uh-huh. Okay. If anything, use little scraps of cotton fabric.
Yeah.
Or some little kind. The cotton ball will tend to fall apart and get stuck in the needle.
It'll just frustrate you. Yeah, too.
So that's one reason I like the prep pads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
they're so nice.
But if I don't have a prep pad I've ignored, you know, getting them or ordering them.
Well,
or
they
whatever,
were out for a while.
They
you know,
were out
they were
for
unavailable.
A while, even though we had a stash. I think we got pretty low. These are like a have to in our studio.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I mean
yes.
We use them for lots of stuff. You know, when we get ink on our table, we wipe it off with this. I mean, clean lots of things with them, including my arm before my B12 shot that we just gave me in the studio. But I use this. I keep a couple right there. I rip one open before I even start, and it's laying there ready for me. And if it starts to get gummy, I just take it up and down the needle and make sure you have a groove in the front of your sewing machine needle, right? The eye is in it. Make sure you get in that groove.
Amen.
Yes. And then I've never had any trouble. Oh, but the cotton ball, it's just there's too much fiber there to go, you know, random on you.
Yeah. Okay. And also, I want you to think about a couple other things. Your thread, we'll go back to the needle because also have a needle recommendation. So
yes, needles is very important too.
ZD talked about the groove in the front of the needle and the thread kind of lays in there. I think like the fourth and fifth episode of our podcast is about how needles act as a thread delivery system, right? So anywho, when you're cleaning that, I'm not exactly sure all the kinds of trouble she was having.
Right.
But your thread goes through the fabric, what is it, 15, 20 times?
Yeah, it goes through it. Oh, I think it's more than that. But I think it's like 30-something.
Before.
It goes up and down through the eye of the needle before it ever sets.
Before it lays down forever as a stitch.
As a stitch in your fabric,
so,
right.
So it's important as well to use a high-quality thread.
Yes.
And a polyester thread is going to slide through this gunk.
Don't use cotton. It'll just stick.
Yeah. You'll have better luck with a high-quality polyester thread on fabric.
And
like
the reason
that.
One other reason she's saying high quality is there's less.
It's because they're low
linty,
quality.
there's less linty fibrous stuff there to catch on the glue or ball up.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, we use Metrosine and we have no problem. And then you do have to consider your needle. So you want a really sharp needle.
Yep.
And you'd like a sizable eye. So, you know, you can go a lot of ways on this. I used to actually use a size 70 denim needle in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. because the eye was a little bit bigger.
70?
Mm-hmm. That's because I didn't want a big hole in it. Okay. So I would use a 70. An 80 would probably be fine, too. But 70 or an 80, either one. But, and then denim has a coating on it.
Yeah.
To make it slick.
So the denim needles are lubricated by a coating, like a Teflon-ish
coating. I don't think it's truly Teflon, but it's something similar.
Uh-huh.
You know.
But nowadays, as well.
Right.
There are special, like, Schmetz has a line of, and Class A has a line of, like, costuming needles.
Right.
That are titanium coated. And I think a lot of people think of titanium as, like, this needle's going to be so strong I can pound sew a metal cosplay costume. That's actually not
the
reason why you see, like, a gold or a titanium plated needle. Those, it's not actual gold, I'm pretty sure, too. But those...
It might be
just a little bit of gold. Those are lubricants.
Right. So it's to give it a glide.
Yeah.
It's to get it's so that it will ease through the fabric and that, you know, your thread will be in the right timing to make a stitch.
Yes.
Now, also, micro...
They're not always coated. Microtex
needles. No, but they're very sharp.
They are very sharp, yes.
And, you know, sometimes I'll just go to a Microtex because it's what I have and I know it's sharp. And, you know, I'll pick an 80 for the eye of the needle. And I've not had a problem with that either.
Microtex are nice.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've gone denim, Microtex, the costuming needles, right? I do not use... I do not use a knit needle.
Yeah.
I've used a spandex needle. What do they call it?
The
stretch.
Yeah.
Right.
You use a stretch needle, not a ballpoint.
I use a stretch needle, but not a knit needle. The knit needle is too blunt.
Yeah.
And in fact, your universal needle oftentimes is too blunt.
Yeah. So all those things can help. But like also sometimes these fabrics... It really is kind of asking you to do the impossible.
Some of them are real goobery.
Yeah.
And sometimes, especially if you're talking about a bow tie, and if this is like, say, a dot sequiny kind of thing or something. I don't know
Here,
what
I'll
it had
I'll show you
on
the
it.
Picture oh, again.
But
Sorry.
Or this glitter, it is hard to turn, okay, that type of fabric.
It's a little hard to tell exactly what's
Okay, it might be that kind of had the kind of that rubberized...
Yeah.
I think
we've worked.
She should be able to turn that maybe.
I think it she didn't mention that it was hard to turn, but just the needle.
But sometimes if you have something that has this thing laid on the top, if you know what I'm saying, you know, so what you might want to do is not use two of those pieces so don't face it with the same fabric.
Yeah.
Okay. So face it with some slick
Okay, this was going to be my next suggestion, actually. So you're saying face with another fabric, right?
Right.
So don't, if the cummerbund would have had two layers of fabric, the bow tie would have had two layers of fabric, right? Use a different fabric.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, we don't like tissue paper, but we're cool with like receipt paper or even printer paper. Sometimes just giving your needle a little more support can help get through those crazy fibers, and this isn't something I imagine you want to be like ironing interfacing onto, but like sometimes that can help.
Yeah, you usually can't iron this stuff. If you do, you'll melt something.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that would have taken care of all our problems because that's more of like a stabilizer, but you know, if the fabric is sort of like bending and going down and coming up over the needle, you know, that can happen.
And if you are using two layers, now, don't hesitate. So this is a cummerbund, and it looks like she's got a stretchy fabric, right?
Yeah.
But I'm making a cummerbund, and I want it more stable. I'll use cotton.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because the cotton will basically act as a stabilizer and maybe cleanse my needle just a little bit.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about the paper. It kind of
washes
the needle.
It does. It kind of scrapes the needle clean.
So, once again, I just want to say, like, solidarity, and it's not surprising to me that that was maybe, like, too much of an ask because sometimes that, you can run into fabrics that are just terrible to work with. Like, as a costumer, have you ever been like, all right, one of these things can get made out of this, but not 20.
Not the rest of them.
Yeah, or yeah. something like, or.
Or I have to figure this out a different way, or I can't turn this. I'm going to have to cut it and top stitch it. Something, mm-hmm. you know, you may have to make some sort of alteration
or
in how you decided to put it together.
I'll make this costume out of this for my kid once, but never right. again. Well,
and now when in my sewing
life
in my sewing history and my sewing whatever we want to call this, I learned to sew from some people who had excellent technique.
Yeah.
And they sewed on silks and linens and all of these expensive, fantastic fabrics. And then the 80s came. Okay. And in the 80s, we started getting things like dot sequins, things that were like rubberized on fabric. Everything just got weirder and weirder. Cooler. Okay. Neater. Like, oh my God, look at that. You know, that fabric is a fluorescent rainbow. I want it, right?
Right.
And these people had trouble sewing on those fabrics. Now, I must have been like on the cusp of.
You're just gifted.
That was it. Gifted. I'm humble. Humble as I am.
I said
I'm
it.
Sure
you
that's
didn't.
The truth.
I said it.
But I was not afraid to sort of attack these. You know, I would take little pieces and go, well, if this works, this or and get, you know, they weren't using alcohol on their needles.
Yeah.
You know, why would they? Because all of their fabric was pristine.
Yeah, you don't need to use alcohol.
No, everything they had was beautiful.
I've said this before.
But
people get intimidated about using, like, nice linen or nice
right.
wool, and sometimes, not all the time.
No, it's the Halloween fabric that's hard.
Yeah, right. Sometimes it's like the expensive yeah. stuff that'll make you look real good, you know, because
right,
it's
right.
easier to sew.
But, you know, sewing in the 80s, 90s, and beyond was all about all of these fabric changes.
Yeah.
Microtex
yeah,
came in, you know,
fabrics.
Non-wovens. Mm-hmm. All of these things started showing up. And traditional sewing, or people who had taken home ec, there was no guidance. There was nothing. And, you know, there weren't many classes even to tell you what to do. Stretch and sew came out. Well, that was about knits, but that's all it was about. It wasn't
right.
about knits that had, like, globs of rubber on them, you know.
Oh, you know, something else that I want to say here that is unrelated to what you're talking about. Lengthen your stitch if you can on these
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
So, first of all, let's pretend that you're... Let's pretend you have the straight stitch at a 2.5, okay, millimeter.
Right.
But maybe this fabric's not feeding through your machine super fast,
right.
and so the stitch is shorter. If you increase it to a 4, you've almost doubled your stitch length, or maybe even go 4.5, and you've almost doubled your stitch length, and that's half the amount of stitches you would have taken on
right.
that gloopy, gobbledy,
right. well,
you know,
plus,
fabric.
If you have something that has a design like a sequin or a piece of rubber, you don't want it piercing.
Yeah, you
piercing.
Don't need it short. Anyway.
You don't. You want it longer.
I know that they, you know, have some gentle
right.
curves. Like maybe you do want to shorten it at some point.
Well, and you can do that. You know. Can always shorten on a corner or a curve and
yeah.
lengthen back on you know your length your
yeah
where you have a run a long you know straight run.
Yes, yes.
I remember somebody came in and they were making riding vests for this, you know, an equestrian team, right? And they had all of these vests made up
mm-hmm.
and they kept trying to make buttonholes.
Oh.
And it was the dot sequin.
Oh, yeah.
So they took, you know, they had talked to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
They had never said anything really about buttons. We just didn't. But I said, you know, I think you want to line it. Line it with something that's not the same fabric at all.
Yeah.
You know, you need something to stabilize this. You know, you want to, you know, told her about the alcohol, everything. She comes in with these vests and she's got this big, long sample of all of these ugly or
terrible
buttonholes.
Like, yeah,
so
but...
I've tried everything. And I looked at her and I said, you can't make one.
Yeah.
Not with thread, you know, on your machine. You cannot make a buttonhole. You want to sew a button on and put a snap behind it.
You know.
And she's like, that's all. And I said, it is. You know, here she got all this work. She goes, So my mistake was not calling you after the first buttonhole. I said, I think so. I said, yeah, and when we were working this all out, we just didn't talk about that.
Well, I tried to embroider on your dot sequin bag, and I was doing it as a surprise. It was your B12. It was your B12
That's
bag.
That's right, my B12 bag.
Because mom could never, like, keep her B12 stuff together, so I decided to make her a big dot sequin bag. And I was going to embroider on it, bleeping B12. Is what I was going to embroider. Well, that stuff does not embroider well. If I'd really...
But it does applique well.
Right. So if I'd really wanted to, I could have, like, embroidered that on a piece of fabric, applicated it on, or something like that. I could have done that. But anyway, I didn't, because, of course, it was, like, the night before I was supposed to give it to you.
Oh, no, it was probably an hour of. Yeah,
exactly. So anyway,
But what I'm saying is, there is fabric that maybe you can't make a buttonhole on.
Yep.
There is fabric that maybe you can't make a bow tie or make a bow tie in the traditional sense.
Right.
Now, you may be able to do it in some other way.
Right.
You know, a lot of times in costuming, you make something and then you throw the fabric you want on top of it and just stitch it down.
There you go. That happens.
That can happen too.
That happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or glue it on. So it's one night at the prom.
Right. So you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm trying to like make a cummerbund out of this stuff, you know, and we're like, okay, we'll make a cummerbund, buy a cummerbund, gather a little bit of this fabric. And I normally am not a huge glue fan, but when you're working with something that's been all glued and stuff, maybe it's, you know, appropriate.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, we don't know her problems.
No,
but,
not all.
But
not
I do 100%. Believe if you'd had the right needle and appropriate alcohol wiping system and a good stabilizing fabric behind it, you might have been all right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that is our episode for today. Hopefully, you guys, I'm sure ZD won't let me, but ZD's eyes.
Oh, my gosh.
ZD is now recovered from surgery and then got some kind of sinus infection.
I have been sick ever since they cut my arm open. It's like, come on. The arm is healed. The arm is good. I'm getting back all of my nerve, intervention to my hand. But I have been sick since day one. I mean, my system just could not take it. So I got a lot of pollen and a lot of allergies that I never had before. That was new. And then it went into a sinusitis. And now I have a sinus infection. And my eye, the conjunctiva of my eye is red.
Yeah.
Like, no white. I have, like, green and red eyes.
It looks like a special effect.
I think I look like I have meth eyes. And I had to go to my grandson's school today, and I'm like, oh, my God. These people are like,
really,
well, there's the granny that's on drugs, you know. So, yeah. Now, supposedly I have these eye drops, you know.
That are going to help you.
Well,
yeah.
they're
Were they the ones that I got you?
No,
you got antibiotic eye drops.
You know, and she's like, I think in 2 days you'd be looking better. And I was like, okay, well.
Can't look much worse.
No, I can't. I cannot look much worse. I feel better because apparently I did get someone that gave me all of the proper medications this time.
Yes.
So it sort of lingered on because apparently I was not really treated
so
properly.
Hopefully we're back.
Oh, man.
Thank you all for listening so much. Have a lovely day. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.